guys, welcome to The Things I Do For Love, a brief Game of Thrones card game podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to a special edition of The Things I Do For Love. With no white book episode this week, thanks to Worlds, I thought I would jump in with a quick little episode of our 10-minute show and provide a little commentary with what we know so far about Worlds. We are currently in the middle of day 1B of the Game of Thrones World Championship, and I think there is already quite a bit of interest for a lot of folks that are following this and taking a look at stats and gameplay and where the meta actually lies at the moment. So day 1A was on Wednesday, and FFG posted a house breakdown of this particular field, which showed a, I think, somewhat startling amount of Martell, fully 30% of the field, and this is with eight different factions available. 30% of the field were all Martell. It looks like Lannister and Greyjoy tied for second place with 17%. I think the second place items look much more in line with what many had been expecting going into Worlds. And when we look at the day 1B results, then we also see something that I think is much closer to what people had been expecting. In day 1B, we see Greyjoy jump into the lead with 25% of the field, Lannister in second with 20%, which I think my personal prediction was going to be that Greyjoy took it, the championship that is, and Greyjoy, I think, seems to be a strong contender still in placement here. And in particular, the Martell glut appears by reports to have been the Hyper Viper combo deck, as it were, not the Cancer Lancer variety of stall deck that was available and won nationals at Gen Con. In this case, this is a combo deck, for those that are not familiar with it, that is attempting to filter its deck with all of the Tyrell filter events. It's a Banner Rose deck that drills down to craft the exact hand it wants, drops the Red Viper, and then doubles, triples his strength, whatever it might be, so that he can claim enough power in one challenge phase to win the game. It's a character light build. It leans very heavily in some ways on Wheels Within Wheels for some event recursion, also gaining gold through Sunspear, which is interesting to me because people were so down on that location when it first debuted. But it does seem that the pieces have aligned now for that to become effective. In a lot of ways, that deck made news, made a splash over the summer, and I think had kind of dropped off of several people's radar lately due to a handful of factors, inconsistency, and people attempting to tech against it and prepare in their particular meta preparations. As well, it was somewhat overshadowed by, in the latter part of the summer, with the advent of the Lannister Wonder Woman deck, which did somewhat similar things, but out of Lannister with Cersei Lannister instead. Now, we're not getting reports that Wonder Woman is the lead push here on Lannister. I've been hearing a little bit about Reigns of Castamere, and that does appear to have been the most favored agenda from day 1A. So I think odds are good that Wonder Woman is less prevalent and that it is much more on the back of the Reigns kind of good stuff jumpers deck that somebody like Kyle had piloted to King of Swiss at Gen Con. So I think there's a good chance that turns out to be a large chunk of the top 16 showdown, being kind of a revolving wheel, so to speak, between some of the combo decks, Greyjoy and Lanny Good Stuff. I was a little disappointed. It looks like Tyrell has a lower showing than I expected. I really thought Tyrell Reigns was going to be maybe in about third place. It does not look that way. I think in some ways, possibly, it's been scared off for some folks since the Tyrell House of Thorns box is not legal for Worlds. And I think in a lot of ways, surprising no one, Baratheon is the least represented house with 2% on day 1A and only 3% on day 1B. It used to be that Neil was a good pace deck, so to speak, in first edition, why I defaulted to it so many times. But it really seems like second edition has shifted a different way in the field. Not only is there a viable combo deck that's character light and commits to the board at the last possible second, which potentially dodges a lot of those Neil effects, but there are also houses that are able, there are more houses that are able to play around with challenge, with characters entering play during the challenges phase, you know, later than Marshalling. Lannister, of course, really being the poster child for this, but even to some extent, Martell can do this. Tyrell can definitely do this. Even a little bit of, Night's Watch and Targaryen with a couple of cards. That type of effect is much more spread than it used to be. And with the general strength of this Lannister good stuff, it really makes it hard to get maximum effect out of Marshalling phase Neil, like, say, Corset Melisandre. On the flip side, their kind of stall decks looking to win dominance, I think, are overshadowed by the full-on combo decks, where they are both kind of looking at a similar game plan to gain power in kind of a roundabout way, but Baratheon's is a much slower way to do that rather than trying to hit it all in one go. It's a turn after turn, drag the game out sort of thing. Now, the other houses look like they still have a fairly even spread between them, so we'll see how they go. I do expect a Targaryen to slip in, probably a Night's Watch to slip in as well. This is, of course, to the top 16. Now, Stark, on the other hand, I think if it hits some good matchups against some of the combo stuff, I think it may stand a shot if people are running kind of the counter sort of deck to that. I don't know how many are doing that. Some may have taken that opportunity on day B after the knowledge of what showed up for day A, but some may just be shooting for some more traditional rush type of builds, which is going to complicate things. And to round out our current update, we have some info on top plots, which varies only a little bit between the 2 days. We've got Counting Coppers as the most popular plot both days. Former host of the White Book, Daryl Lloyd, I think, probably loves that. As he used to say, Counting Coppers is the best plot in the game. And he considered draw to equal win. Then Valor Morghulis winds up being the second most popular plot. And this one, I think, is interesting, particularly on the back of some discussions that we had earlier on The Things I Do for Love with former U.S. champ, or sorry, reigning U.S. champ, Seth Lowe, who felt that Valor had not really made the impact in the meta that kind of was hoped for and promised. But I think it has seen fit to kind of resurrect its position in the field. Now, some of that is going to be these combo decks that are looking to slow the game down by any means possible while they sculpt their hand. But obviously, being the number two most popular plot, it is being widely run in the rest of the field as well. So there you go, folks. That is our very quick Things I Do for Love. We're coming in right about our 10-minute usual, so our goal anyway. So thank you. Keep your eyes peeled for more info from the Fantasy Flight Games World Championship weekend. And let's see how Game of Thrones does. Thanks.